Have you ever heard God's voice? Let's think about that. Have you ever heard God's voice? If you have heard that voice, I really would like to talk to you. I have never heard God's voice in my life. But I think God speaks to us, and that really is the major point of the sermon. But I want you through this whole time to think, has God ever spoken to you? The story in the Old Testament might seem to us to be like a children's fairy tale. A donkey who talks. We might turn to the Disney Channel and expect to see something like that. Do I believe that the donkey of Balaam talked to him? I certainly do. I believe that is in Scripture to teach us. Animals are well known to know things that we do not know. It is a recorded fact that many times animals already know when earthquakes are coming. When we were on our trip to Scotland this summer, there was a lady that had a service dog that smells her senior moment. She has diabetes. It smells when her numbers are off and alerts her to that. We have a friend who trained dogs to chase geese. And they would chase, if you had a pond and you had Canadian geese that were coming in and messing things up, she would just release her dog, and after a couple of weeks, the geese didn't come back anymore. She also had trained dogs that smelled bed bugs. She would go into colleges and hotels, and the dogs would smell if there were any bed bugs there. Sometimes we underestimate the ability of God's creation to speak His wisdom to us. The background of this story is that the Israelites, the Hebrews, had left Egypt, and they were coming up the east side of the Dead Sea. And there were people groups who lived there. I wouldn't call them nations. When we think of nations, we tend to think of our country. But there were people groups who lived there. And just before what happened here in our scripture lesson, one of those people groups, Moses sent some of his people to them and said, "We would like to pass through your country. We will stay on the King's Road," which was a main road between Egypt and up toward what is now Iran and Iraq. "And we will stay on the road. We will not eat your food. We will not steal from your fields. We will not even drink your water. We just want to pass through." And that nation formed an army and attacked the Israelites. They just wanted to walk through. And so now they are at the point that there is another people group called Moab, Moabites. In my prayer, I was saying not everybody in Russia is bad and not everybody in Ukraine is good. There are some good Moabites in Scripture. One of them was a woman by the name of Ruth, who was a Moabite, and she married Boaz. And if you read in the scripture, in the Gospels, Ruth is in the lineage of Christ. So not all Moabites are bad. Anyway, the king, the leader of the Moabites, Balak, went to hire a prophet. Actually more what we would think of as a seer rather than a prophet. And that man was Balaam. And he sent some people to Balaam with some money and said, "I want you to come and put a curse on these people who are coming from Egypt. That was a big thing back then, is to put a curse or a blessing on someone else. We find that in a lot of witchcraft and things like that. And Balaam said to them, well, you have to wait overnight. I have to think about this. And I don't know what his thoughts were, but he said in Scripture, it tells us God told him not to go. And so he sent them home. Well, Balak wasn't happy with that. He sent more people, and my guess is more money, to Balaam. And again, Balaam says, you have to wait. I have to think about this overnight. And the Lord said to him that, go, but say what I want you to say. So Balaam got up and went, and Scripture tells us, you can read all this in the 22nd chapter of Numbers. Balaam got up and went with the people, but something changed. God told him to go and to speak what God wanted him to say. And Balaam went, and God's anger was kindled against Balaam. Why? Did Balaam think he could get away with kind of fudging it and still keep the money? Something changed there, and that's where we have our story today, where three times the donkey was wise enough to see the angel of the Lord standing with a sword to kill Balaam, because Balaam was going against God. Scripture is full of many, many people who were not Hebrews or who were not Christian that God used to serve his purposes. Balaam was one of those. He was not a Hebrew. He certainly was not a Christian because Christ hadn't come. He probably believed in many gods. And he was going. And the angel was there two times. And the donkey led him off the road. The donkey kind of smashed his ankle against a rock to get out of the way of the sword of the angel. And the third time, the donkey just plumb laid down. Donkeys can be stubborn people. We don't know any stubborn people, do we? Well, donkeys are stubborn too. They're stubborn people also. He laid down and Balaam beat him the third time. That's where God comes in and speaks to Balaam. Have you ever heard an animal talk to you? I've never heard that. Have you ever heard God's voice? I've never heard that either. Have you ever felt God lead you or push you in a direction? I know a woman who every once in a while, somebody's name will come to mind. It's in her brain and she can't get rid of it. And almost always she does something about that. She calls that person or gets in touch with that person. And every time it's always been because there's a need. Every time. It doesn't just happen once in a while. It happens on a regular basis. God wants to direct our lives. So many times when we're sitting in the pew, we think the job of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ is the pastor's job. It is. It is what the pastor is called for. But we are called to do the same things, to hear and see God working in the world and then to do something about it. Whatever God's goal is, that should be our goal also, to share that gospel. I ran across a quote in a book that I had read. The author, his name is T. Davis Bunn, and this is one of a seven-book series. I think it's called Istanbul something or other. I'm not good at that. And there's a man in there who is trying to witness to his friend who is not a Christian. And he's having trouble. And this is how the dialogue goes between them. There's a priest and then this fellow Jake. And Jake is saying, I try to be a Christian, but when I try to help people, I feel, and he's searching for a word, and the priest says, you feel human. You feel trapped within all that is not perfect within you. You feel empty. That's it, says Jake. Good, said the father. Only when we are faced with our own emptiness can we open ourselves fully to be filled by the Spirit. And Jake said, but I feel like there has to be somebody else who would be better. Look around yourself, says the priest. Do you see crowds of perfect people? Do you see a world filled with the Savior's love? Do you find 1,000 people calling out to be used by the Lord? No. You find nothing of the sort. You find unanswered needs crying out to uncaring hearts. Accept that the Father is calling you. Accept that in your imperfections grow the seeds of His divine love. Be content that no matter how flawed you are, no matter how great your failings, the Lord sees in you the possibility of perfection. Why? Because you have opened yourself up to be used by Him, the one in whom perfection is complete. We are called in our imperfections to serve the Lord, to listen and hear, maybe not an audible voice. I've never heard an audible voice. But I have felt God directing not only myself, but even our family in certain ways through the years. He wants to lead each and every one of us to share what we know to be true in Jesus Christ. If you are Christ's, then you are His hands and feet in a world that is crippled. You are the one to bring good news into the life of someone. Balaam was blind to the angel being there. Angel was blind that the Lord's anger was kindled against him. But a donkey was not. Are we that blind that we're not listening, we're not seeing, we're not hearing? We come to the table. I don't expect to hear a voice, but there might be. But we come to handle holy things. God in our presence, right here with us as we handle these holy things. I'm not worthy to administer it. The elders are not worthy to serve it to you, and you are not worthy to partake it. Only in the blood of Jesus Christ is that possible for us. He wants to speak to us through this table. He wants to speak to you when you go to work. He wants to speak to you when you sleep in the morning because you're retired. He wants to speak to you when you're out shopping, getting gas. He wants to lead you if your eyes are open to see where God is going. Don't you want to be going in that direction also? Let's pray together. Lord, I've never heard a donkey speak, but I don't doubt at all that it happened. It seems that only twice that I recall in Scripture that a donkey is used for something very, very important. One, to lay down in the road to save its master, who then went on to speak not a curse but a blessing upon the Hebrews. And one, to carry our Savior into Jerusalem. Lord, I pray that for each of us, that this day we're not as stubborn as donkeys are made out to be. I pray that in each of us you would open our eyes and our ears, that we would hear and see where you are going, and then to hop on board and to go with you. To take the opportunities we get to witness of Christ in our lives with the people that we deal with and in our families and homes and neighborhoods. I thank you that in this fictional story, Jake became wise enough that in his inabilities, his friend was able to find peace with your son, Jesus. Lord, help us not to be strong, but to be available. Help us not to preach, but to share good news. Help us not to look at our great abilities, but to realize that we are nothing. That we are called, and it is not by our strength, but your strength. It is not our greatness, but your greatness. For Lord, you have chosen that which is next to nothing to be that which is great. Peter, a fisherman, who would go on to preach on Pentecost. John, also a fisherman, who went on to write and to minister and end up in exile because of his faith. Weak instruments who became strong in the kingdom. Lord, use us in that way, I pray. Speak to us through this table that lies before us. Strengthen us through these elements, not a physical strength, but a spiritual strength to be fortified, to be anointed, to go out and to minister in your name. Lord, I pray this in the name, the glorious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.